Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And what chapter is that? Oh, wow. Hello? Someone said it over here? Thank you, Karen. It's the armor of God chapter. Yes, and much, much more to it. So this morning we're going to look at Lord Teach Us to Pray, part 2. And just so we can catch up where we were last week, the week before that, we started our first part on Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And we looked at Luke 11, chapter 1, which said, Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And the point is that when we look at this, we want to, the reason we're preaching this series, because we want to know that prayer is vitally, 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 vitally important. Importante. If you, I don't know how else to say it. How is somebody in French? Tell me in French. I said the oath in French. Don't laugh. And so it's important. It's that word that Andrea used. And what they were saying is that, you know, Lord, we've been with you a long time, and when you pray, there's something different. You have a connection with the Father. You have fervor. You have value. You have excitement. There's just something in you. We don't have it. Lord, teach us to pray. And so what we did, we looked at this, and we looked at, help if I switch it on. We looked at, what am I missing? Remember? We looked at, what am I missing? And we said that the big thing that came out of that was real prayer and communion with God is based on relationship and not on a need or crisis. You know, we normally only pray when we're in crisis. When our things around us aren't going well, then we pray and we're in crisis. And so we asked the question, what am I missing? What am I missing, Lord? And then we came up with a number of things. And you're going to have to go and listen to the sermon. I'm not doing it again. And go and listen to it if you missed it. It's vitally important. And we came with all these things. And then we said, well, how do we fix it? And then we've got to start with worship. Worship is in every factor. Worship is not singing songs. Worship is speaking to the Father. We fully surrender. We pray with confidence. We make it personal and not formal. And today I want to speak on our conduct in conflict. And because we are in a conflict, right? Or a battle. We're in a battle, and we need to understand that when we're in a battle, and we said the big idea was real prayer and communion with God is based on relationship and not on a need or crisis. The big thought for today, if you take this away and you miss everything else, that's okay, is prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Get into a practice. Become disciplined in when your eyes wake up this morning, open up in the morning, you go, Morning, Father. How are you this morning? What have you got for me today? That is learning to develop relationship and be in communion with God. When we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, this is all about the restoration of people to their right relationship with God. Now, you cannot have a right relationship, although we are righteous and made righteous and right standing with God, we have to build that relationship. It's not like osmosis. Because if I want to have a relationship with you, then I've got to get to know you. And I've got to talk with you and you with me, etc., etc. And so the point is, when we come to our Father, although we stand in righteousness and we sing and we thank you for His grace and His amazing ability in our lives, we also have to build a relationship and get to know who He is. 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, pray, seek, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Grace is a dispensation for us to turn from our wicked ways. Unless we take hold of it, we can't claim it for ourselves. And so here we're looking at this. Do you know that if we just took this and we looked at it and we took it forward a couple of hundred thousand years, and we get to Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to breaking of bread, and to fellowship. That's what this is all about. And when we come together and we see this together, and we humble ourselves and pray and seek and turn from our wicked ways, He will hear. And do we know that we're in a battle? That there is a spiritual drought in our in the world today? You only have to switch on the TV, pick up a newspaper, read a magazine, and see how difficult a time we're living in. How bad the situation is when everything around us is falling apart. I got a little time last night and we sat and watched the movie Saul. I don't know if any of you have seen it. Man, it came back and you see these people getting carried away because they would not deny Jesus Christ. They won't even say His name. They say the man from Nazarene. And then we see Saul's conversion, and it's a good movie. If any of you haven't seen it, go and see it. Help you to, wow, see again. The locusts are swarming and the pestilence are devouring our land. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Okay. Turn with me, we should be, Ephesians chapter 6. The armor chapter. I want to show you it's much more than the armor chapter. For context, we're going to read from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand, therefore, having fastened, let me pause there. Chris, I think last week stated and went on, we think, and I know I came out with the sword and the shield, and that is helping to get the warrior spirit in us, but that's not how we fight. The Lord's going to describe our weapons of warfare, our conduct in conflict. And when we have that, and I trust that you understand, we don't take them off. I go to bed tonight and I'm taking all those, so when I get up in the morning, I'm put it all back on again. No, it remains on us. It is the armor of God. And it remains with us and on us. And so when we have it, then it says, what do? We charge forward screaming and shouting? No, we don't. We stand. And there's a reason why. Because our charge forward is something else. Because, I'm getting ahead of myself excited here. Much too excited. I feel like an Energizer bunny this morning. Stand therefore, having fastened on the, I hope this this passion and compassion touches you this morning, if nothing else. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness and righteousness as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we stop reading. Because now we've got the armor of God sorted. Now I've got my breast and my helmet and my breastplate and my shoes and my gospel and I've got the sword and I've got that. I'm ready to go. Our conduct in conflict. This is our conduct in conflict. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Be alert because your country needs alerts. Be alert with all perseverance, making supplication for some of the saints. No, for all the saints. And also for me, says Paul, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Do you get the importance and the vitality, the need that we have for prayer? Prayer meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning is not just an add-on what we do here. It's because we believe this. We believe the word. And come December, we're going to have corporate prayer times again. And that's when we come together to pray. And I'm going to help you see what our conduct is and then how we do that. Amen, Mark. Thank you. It's a pleasure. But now we're all standing, all dressed up with our armor on, but we don't have any place to go and we don't know what we're supposed to do. Unfortunately in life, we are reactors and not responders. We should prevent the enemy from attacking us before he does. Because we need to be awake, alive, and ready, and going around, making sure that we're alert to his schemes. I'm telling you, you can study scripture, his schemes are the same for the last 2,000 years. 4,000, whatever the case may be. It's the same. He is not a creator. He is not creative. Now, I'm just going to put some doubt in your mind. Yeah, that's what he did to Eve. Did God really say? Are you really saved? Are you really a child of God? Have you really got a gift or talents? Are you really going to heaven? Yes. I think it gets a little bit more difficult. Are you holy? Yes. Are you righteous?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Now I'm preaching to the right people. Our first response should always be to pray. Do we always do it? No. We don't. We know we get to Ephesians 6 and we go, aha, armor of God, I'm all cool. I know what I'm doing. I've got the armor of God. I'm ready to go. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Our conduct is number one in conflict is to pray in the Spirit. Yeah, but Mark, I don't pray in tongues. I'm not talking about just praying in tongues. I'm talking about being Spirit-led, who prompts us and leads us into prayer. His promise, I will guide you in all truth. So when we do the James 4:7 thing and we do it badly because it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I know you know by now this is one of my favorite scriptures. No, it doesn't say that. It says, therefore, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. Oh, we forgot that part. And then we come and we've got bruises and black eyes and we look like we've been in an MMA fight. Because we didn't submit ourselves unto him first, under his shadow, under his mighty arm, under his wings. You can use a prayer list or a guideline. And I'm going to show you just now. Well, doesn't praying in the Spirit just mean that we just, oh. No, sometimes we need to write down what we're going to pray for in the Spirit. Lord, help me to write down a list so that I can pray. I want to get the stuff done. I don't want to miss out the Walkington family and pray for everybody else. Oh, I forgot them on your way. Oh yes, Lord, and bless the Walkingtons. No. Yet when we do that, we want to be led by the Spirit. Follow the way He leads us. When we begin to pray, the first thing we do is remind ourselves, I am in the presence of Almighty God. Do we get that? How awesome, how mighty, how majestic, how high and lifted up, how powerful God is. When we're in His presence, then we say, Holy Spirit, help us. Second thing, it says pray at all times. Prayer is supremely vital. It will be of no value for us to be strong in the Lord and put His arm if we don't pray. I'm standing. The Bible says, when you've done all to stand, stand. Man, by nature, I'm going to say hate. that scripture made me scratchy. Because I don't want to stand. I want to hear that sound. You know, if you watch movies. I want to hear that sound as I draw my sword from its scabbard. I want to charge into battle. No, you can't charge into battle. Charge into battle. I was going to talk to my South African friends. Oh my word, where are we praying at all times? Without prayer, we will soon faint and fall. No, you don't understand. I can do this. Watch my lips. No, you can't. I can do it because I'm the pastor. No, you can't. Philippians 4:6 said, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I might have told you in South Africa, Bridget and I led a home group, and we had just about every age group in the thing from 18 to 80, but the larger amount of the people in that group were 60 plus. And you're not those people, and if you took the years as being Christians and you added all it up, it was like 500 and something years. And you're not the biggest lesson they taught Bridget and myself? Because you get with young people, and there's nothing wrong with this, just hear my heart. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. Old people, when they pray, they say, Lord, thank you so much for this. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for my health. Thank you for this. Thank you for what you've provided. Thank you that you've given. Man, I'm telling you, we can learn a lesson. Well, I'm now on that side of the rainbow. And so, thank you, Lord, that you give me strength. Prayer doesn't change the purpose of God, but prayer can change the action of God. Chuck Smith said that, just so you know. Number three. Pray different types of prayer. Prayer in general term is a worshiping and talking to God. I can't pray like so-and-so. Please don't pray like so-and-so. Pray like you. Pray like you speak. Pray like your explanation. Pray your expressions. And that doesn't mean for the young people, what's up, doc? We revere God. So, Abba Father. Supplication means casting ourselves in God's mercy. Petition is making requests for ourselves and for others. We're so good at making for ourselves. How about others? Paul asks us to pray with all manner, all prayers, every kind of prayer. Private prayer at home, in your car, in the lift, wherever you choose it. Corporate prayer when we come together, Sunday mornings when we come together on Wednesday nights. In your connect groups, corporate prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer must be our first response. Amen. There's praying with one's mind switched on. When I'm cognizant and I'm praying all these prayers, there's times when we pray in tongues when the mind is not switched on because we're praying in the Spirit. Because it says we don't know what to pray, so we say to the Spirit, pray through us. Interceding. There are groanings that cannot be uttered. There are times when I've prayed and just from inside my belly, this has come out, and I'm going, what was that? It's because of these groanings where I don't know what to say, but I'm so burdened by this stuff that the Lord teaches me. Groanings, interceding. Man, because we're praying all different types of prayers, pray with perseverance and watchfulness. Supreme, see, who likes secrets? Let me tell you a secret. This is the supreme secret of the Christian life, to persevere in prayer. Lord, do this for me. Well, I asked him and he didn't hear. No, we need to persevere a little bit. You know, sometimes the Lord answers it now, sometimes he answers it late, and sometimes he says no. And most times we don't hear the no because we don't want to hear the no. That's just reality check. Right mind, right heart, right attitude. Lord, bless me with more money so I can buy a bigger car so I can show Joe Bob next door that I've got a better car than him. I think that prayer is not going to get answered. Just a hot tip, but there we go. We need discipline. I encourage you, draw up a timetable if you need to. Maybe some of you need to get up before everybody else in the house gets up. Sometimes go to bed after everyone's gone to bed. Go into your closet. You know, and religious people, well, if you don't pray in your closet, then you're not doing it the right way. No, the point of that is privacy. Jesus often got up early and went to a place by himself. Whatever time that works for you, but get a fixed time where you can communicate with God. Pray for all the saints. Christians known to us far and wide. We don't use prayer entirely for selfish reasons and purposes. It's a great test of our spirituality, how much we pray for others. Jesus is our intercessor in heaven, continually praying for us. We should be like Jesus. We too should be continually praying for one another, praying for each other. Yeah, we say, when we were away in August this time, Dudley said to us, he said, we need to learn not to just bring people before the throne. We need to pray for them. Well, isn't praying for them bringing them? No. Lord Jesus, I pray for the bridge. I pray for so-and-so, I pray so-and-so. On the way to, oh, forgot about Chris and Susan. Okay, Lord, just bless Susan. That's just bringing them through to the throne. That's not praying for them. Because we do know that God's going to bless them anyway. But we want to help them and intercede for them and pray for them. I don't know, I'm just using them as a couple. They're good, in good standing. They're healthy, they're well, there's no issues. Well, Susan has no issues. Pray for all the saints. Where are we? Last one here. Pray for boldness for self and others. Pray for your leaders. Pray for us. We need your prayers. Pray for... I don't say this because you're so special. No, because we need your prayers. That's it. Pray for those that preach the gospel for boldness. If you go out and preach the gospel, it's not pulpit ministry I'm talking about. If you're going out to witness, if you're going out to testify, if you're going out to touch people's lives, and you want to think, Lord Jesus, help me. Can you pray for me? I'm going out tomorrow to preach the gospel to others. So now we know our conduct in conflict. Oh, I'm doing pretty good, eh? So now, there's always the how to. I want to show you the how to. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We can all quote that, right? Don't throw stones. When Jesus responds to his disciples and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. I know we've got this. This is the Lord's Prayer. And this is the Lord's Prayer that we have to pray. I just want to say, this is actually not a prayer. This is an outline of a prayer. Because he's in, depending what you're reading, it says, you ought to pray like this. This is how you should pray. If your King James says, in this manner, pray ye. But we have dumbed down this amazing, this powerful outline to a script which we just read or recite. We don't give it any thought. We don't give it any mental assent. We don't give it any heart assent. And then we just go, okay, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Okay, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our kingdom come. That will be done. Okay, let's go. There's so much more power in this if we get it right. We have done what Jesus said we shouldn't do in verse 7. Don't be like the pagans and go on and repeat empty phrases. If you go and read, it's an outline. We should pray with 7 distinct areas. And so we know that what is our conduct? We to stand, and I gave us 5 or 6 things on how we do this, and now this is what the outline means to us. Our Father in heaven, we need to connect with God relationally. connect with Him relationally. Romans 8:50, didn't come up, here it is. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Can we just take a moment and just get our brains, minds, to give who God is? The creator of the universe. And we go, Abba, Father. We call Him Dad. He is amazing. Do you know He loves it when we call Him Father? Because it means that there is some form of relationship going on. There is some form of we accept. There is a reverence, there is power, and there is authority when we come to Him and refer to Him as Father. If any of you dads tell one of your kids to tell one of your other kids to clean their bedroom, you go, hey, he says you clean the room. How much more powerful when he says, hey, dad says, clean your room. Oh, okay, there's authority here. And we come and we go, Abba, Father, you are my dad. There's so much more. We have a high view of God will determine your depth of your relationship with God. How high your view of Him is will determine the depth of your relationship. Wrong view, wrong relationship. He is a close Father and we are His children. Hallowed be your name. We worship His name. Proverbs 8:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. We need to learn to use His name and to understand His name when we refer to Him and to call Him. And some of His names are, Father, you are the righteousness. Father, you are my sanctifier. You are my healer. You are my banner of victory over every attack of the enemy. Every thought, every vain imagination, you are my banner of victory. You, my dad. Have you seen that thing about the little bear cub? It's being chased by this mountain lion. And he's over there, and the thing is, and he's this big, and he's so cute, and he's so tiny, and he's running, and this cougar's chasing him, the mountain lion, and eventually gets to the end of the branch, and he's on there, and his little cub voice, rah! And all of a sudden the cougar stops and goes, ooh. And the cougar's this big, and the little bear cub is this big. And then the cougar backs up, puts his ears down, and slinks backwards like this. And then the camera pans away. And there's this 600-pound mama bear standing behind the cub. The cub hasn't seen mama. And the bear's there. And the cougar's going, oh my, I'm out of here. He is our banner of victory. He is our shepherd. I hear His voice. He is my peace. He is my provider. His name is there. Psalm 139, wherever I go, you are there. You are my there. In every situation, you are there. When you are feeling down, when you are feeling abandoned, when you are feeling rejected, when you are feeling, I don't know what's going on in my life, He is there. Well, that got me excited. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to learn to pray His agenda first. Pray, God has an agenda. He has His prayer list, if I could put it the way. Father, I submit to your agenda. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me and give me to speak what you want to say, Lord. We pray for God, we pray for that agenda, we pray for others. And I said earlier, don't just mention them before the Lord. Intercede for them. Pray for them. Be genuine about it. Not just running through a name list because that's going to make you feel good. Let your will be done, not mine, and your kingdom rule, your kingdom reign, and your kingdom realm that I fit into, that I'm part of, that you've called me into, and you've adopted me as your son and daughter. And I'm in that kingdom because you said so, Lord. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember now, prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And we're looking at an outline on how we should pray. Depend on him for everything. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Some versions say to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Why do you think the psalmist wrote that? Because the hills or the mountains, if you do know, that in Israel that was built on the mountains. And the mountaintop was where the government and the authority sat. And he's saying, where does my natural help come from? Not from the mountains. From you, O Lord, because you are greater. You're above all. It doesn't come from the natural. It comes from the divine. It comes from the supernatural. My sustenance doesn't come from me. He is my source. Our Father loves it when we depend on him for everything. Don't worry, God, I got it. Because that's what we're saying sometimes. I'm just going to make this decision. And when I've made this decision, then, is it okay, God?
No, my son.
Oh, okay, too bad. Pray first. Depend on him for everything. Forgive us our debts as we are forgiven our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. Get your heart right with God and people. Get our hearts right with God and with his people, which is horizontal and vertical, or vertical and horizontal. I'll get it right one day. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Paraphrasing, and see if there's any way in which I have offended you. Did you think you could offend God? I think he's always there for us, and grace, first time, second chance, give me another chance, give me another chance, give me another chance. But do you think as a father, when we behave badly, doesn't break his heart? Get our hearts right with God, 1 John 1:9. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Engage in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. What this really, do not lead us into temptation. God never tempts us. So let's just make that right. But what it really says, do not allow me to be led into temptation by the evil one. Because you know that we get to say no. We have the power and the authority to say no. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not looking at that website. I'm not going over there. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not behaving this. I'm not doing that. We get to say no. It doesn't break my heart. It actually upsets me and almost enrages me when I see people on the TV who say, I'm a Christian, and then the devil made me do it. The devil never made you do it. He can't make you do anything. If you thought that, let me just tell you this morning, he cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. That's why we were created with a choice. Understand who he is, who we are in Christ, what he's called us to do. If you're not engaged in warfare with the enemy every day, he is working harder than you are. Let me say that again. If you're not engaged in warfare with the enemy every day, he is working harder than you are. I just overwhelmed by the enemy's attack on my life. Yep. Even when Jesus, we're chatting about this, he was led or driven, taken into the desert by the Holy Spirit. Tempted for 40 days. Came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's in Luke's Gospel, at the end of it he says, and the devil left him alone until another time. Okay, I overcame that, he's going to leave me alone now. No. His resume says, kill, maim, and destroy. That's his job. That's what he wants to do to us. If we are not warring against the enemy, he's working harder than we are. I'm warring for my family. I'm warring for myself. I'm warring for my family. I'm warring for you. For this church. For God's purposes to be fulfilled in all of your lives and my life and our lives. And we stand, and I'm going to tell you, every Friday morning the elders get together and we spend an hour time simply praying for you. We war on your behalf. I know that's strong language. Yeah, it's strong. We're in a battle. Remember, darkness and light. You can't sit on the fence. Okay, last one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, some Bibles don't have this piece. I think the NASB does. But here it is. Express faith in God's ability. I can't do this. I'm weak. In my weakness, He is made strong. Because He takes it on for us. He took it on for us. 2,000 years ago, He became the curse for us. He took all our sin. He took everything upon His body and He died on the cross. And then He rose again victorious. That's where we fit in. We are victorious with Him. Living the fullness. Michael's favorite scripture, John 10:10. The abundant life. I don't feel so abundant today. Well, get into worship. Get into prayer. Join with us. Bump shoulders with somebody. Come and pray. Lift up your spirits. I mean, since I got here this morning, I've been energized a bunny at home. In my office, worship music on, ready to go. Come on, let's do this. Okay. Express faith in God. Jeremiah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Man, soak that in for a while. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Well, what about this? Nothing. Well, you don't know my circumstance. Nothing. You don't know my situation. Nothing. I'm breaking out into song here. Revelation 5:13, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So be it, Lord. That's what I mean. We think it's the closing prayer. It's not. You know, it's like when we are on a racetrack, you've seen the guys race, and they get to the end, the guy's got the checkered flag, and he waits, and as they come past, and they win the race. I'm telling you, when we get to this, we go, amen, it's like, oh, green light. It's just the start. Do it again, Lord. So be it. Do it again, Lord. Forever and ever and ever, amen. Do it again, Lord, ever and ever, amen. Do it again.